Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. Happy New Year. And this is your hostess, Kat. Today we have Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, hey. And we have special guest again, Daryl.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Today we are going to talk about Caprica. But first, we want to talk about all of the awesome comments that we got from you about our turd show. Carl, we had a whole bunch of stuff on Twitter where people really loved the show and how we broke down a lot of the stuff, you know, in our little categories or whatnot. But we had a really awesome comment on our website, scifipartyline.com, and Carl is going to read that for you now.
Kruger hooked us up. Kruger!
Stephanie, yes.
Stephanie Kruger. Okay, so she says, she sent back on December 27th. She said, ha, well done, Kat and Carl. Keep up the good work. I was one of the unfortunate people to have seen both turds. The choice wasn't nearly as hard for me. Skyline, hands down, won this cage fight suckfest.
Woo!
The deciding factor. I know I'm going to get watered down, homogenous mythology, hammered home by a lot of serious music and special effects when I go to see big budget movie. What's more, I know that Air Knight is going to disappoint. My eyes were wide open walking into Airbender. I was like, meh, this is going to suck. But at least I have some leverage now when I insist on watching a Briscoe County Junior marathon tomorrow. With Skyline, it was different. You just don't mess with aliens unless you mean to make people barf, cry, scream, or sympathize. All good alien movies espouse this time-honored tradition. You don't necessarily need a lot of money to achieve this. Seriously, a low budget does not give you a free pass to avoid putting in the time to develop a decent product. What the Skyline folks desperately needed to do is sort through their Lucky Charms box of universal truths, pick one, and commit to it. But they didn't, and so everything about this movie felt half-assed. The takeaway, if you're going to make a turd, at least do it with your whole ass, because a half-assed turd just sets everyone up for the gastrointestinal mess that is the sequel. That was lovely.
That is poetry right there. Yeah,
and
that's
the flow to the comments.
That's some good stuff right there. So Stephanie's here is she kind of said basically the same thing you say about the universal truths and the stuff you say about sci-fi movies, and it doesn't have to be all new, but come on, you got to give us something, and they did.
Some basics, please. Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was an awesome comment. If you want to get read on my podcast by Carl with his amazing voice.
Thank you, baby.
Send us a comment on scifipartyline.com. Be nice, because, you know, we're artists here and our feelings get hurt. So
she's not fragile.
Okay, well, let's step on over that. We're going to talk about Caprica. Man, the time has come and gone. Caprica is over, but not before they dumped all of the shows on January 4th. And I think Carl and I was maybe the only two people to watch the whole thing from 6 to 10 or however long it was.
Come on. Couldn't have been just us. Couldn't have been just us.
You watched the thing too?
Yeah, I put it on my DVR and watched it all.
Oh, you didn't watch it on the night though?
No, I made it through 3 episodes.
We were live, man. We were watching it live because we wanted to feel the disturbance in the force. We wanted to bond with the tears and the outright crying
that we could just feel
in the chrome. Nah. Well, Daryl here has a unique take on Caprica. I think I was a person who liked it. I believe Carl liked it as much as he could. But Daryl here, and we had a little debate or argument or tiff on Twitter, if you will. He says that Caprica, well, excuse me, he says that Haven is better than Caprica. And I just wanted him to tell mm-hmm. us a few things about, you know, how he's crazy and what type of crack he's smoking, that type of thing. Daryl, how? Because Caprica has robots.
Uh-huh, but they barely use. And Haven, I went into Haven and I got what I expected. They pretty much set out the mystery. The female has something with the town. She's trying to find her past. And they have little crazy things that happen each episode with, you know, with people having abilities and all that. And you got that. I expected that. Now, as a BSG watcher, I loved the BSG previous, not the original too much, but the remake. I loved BSG. So when they said they were going to do Caprica, I was looking forward to it. But this show, it was doomed from the start.
What exactly was doomed about it?
They took...
That makes it less exciting and
because I got to tell you, that was a rousing definition of what Haven was about. I mean, from your description, I am ready to rush out and watch the thrill-a-minute description of Haven that you put forth.
Well, Haven, I didn't go into Haven. There's nothing previous about Haven that made me go into it expecting anything but what I saw. Caprica had a lot to live up to, and they already started this mythos of Battlestar Galactica, and to take it was a sci-fi opera, kinda in a way, soap opera,
space opera, yeah.
To take that and just minimize, you know, a lot more of the exciting parts of BSG, and to take it and just pump up the metaphysical part of it without giving you something, you know, just to me, it just didn't have an exciting story. It just didn't work for me. And I wanted it to work. I love sci-fi. I didn't want the show to be something I didn't enjoy. I didn't really care about the characters. I didn't care about Zoe. I could not stand Zoe after the third episode.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that.
The angst, like they tried to pump up too much of the angst. It seems like Adama's daughter who died and went into the, you know, her avatar and all that, they pretty much gave up on her and then brought her back. They never really gave her personality. And then the whole point of when she loved her father before she died, it really didn't make any sense for me why she would run away from her father when he went in to get her into the V-World to see her. It just didn't ring true to me that all of us.
And then, I don't think that was what you were supposed to pay attention to. I think what you were supposed to pay attention to is, yeah, it might not make sense, but she as a dead person, that's the way, you know, she was feeling at that time. Then you had the whole landscape of the newness of the V World, something we haven't seen in a sci-fi show in a while. The V World itself to me was compelling because not only was it a virtual reality that you can hook into and it was almost as real as like a Second Life or whatever, something like that. We just hadn't really seen that on TV. And then for them to go back and try to use the same virtual world as the Haven for their religion, I just thought that I found that compelling. And I found the way they got to it and all the backstabbing and the terrorist actions and the multiple gods that they have versus the one true God. I just thought it, I don't know. I don't know how you didn't get into that at all.
Because I came from watching Battlestar Galactica, and it had
but it had that stuff. But this, which you got more detail. You got it fleshed off. Yeah, they got off topic a little bit. You know, they ran astray. The teen angst. I do agree with you about that. I think they went with the Godfather thing a little too hardcore with the Guatrao, but it was still compelling. They had a couple of episodes that were a little weak, but
Amanda, the part with Amanda, they were kind of they didn't know what they wanted to do with her. Did they want to make her, at first she was going to be a woman who was having an affair, who wasn't really getting along with her husband, and then they kind of got off of that because they didn't want to make her too unlikable. And then she went through the whole, you know, feeling like she was going crazy. And then she's working for the, you know, the police and trying to take it. I mean, it took too long to strengthen her character. I didn't like her to like the very end of the show. And that's kind of too late. Like, I'm not saying you have to make everybody likable, because even in BSG, a lot of those characters that I like, they did a lot of things that made them very unlikable characters.
Well, yeah, that was my complaint about her character, too. I mean, she was a doctor, for crying out loud. We didn't get to see any of that.
Nope.
I mean, we got to see her in her scrubs maybe once, and then she went crazy, and then she, I don't know what she did. I agree, she committed suicide but didn't, and blah blah. Yeah, I get that, but I mean, pound for pound, for most I don't know, depth and mythology and action and tech and planets story building, it's just far more compelling than something like Haven, dude. I'm serious. It wasn't the best, but maybe it's the SGU of the BSG world that you just have to.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you've been a little quiet, Carl. I mean, I understand what he's saying about Haven gave what it delivered. It started off by saying, look, this is going to be a pretty but boring show, and that's what it delivers. So, yes, I agree that it delivers what it said it was, but...
It did say that.
I think it did. From the very beginning, it was pretty clear. It said Haven is going to be plain and boring. That's it. We got it.
And cheap.
It was about this town and the mysteries of the town. Like,
me.
I need backup. Somebody help.
We tried to get Lori on
here. Oh my God, I got some trouble. She just left,
ran away.
She knew it was ridiculous.
The people left me.
I'm not even going to start with you on the Haven thing. I got nothing to help you. That makes no sense to me. Because, okay, the worst thing about Haven is it feels like a Stephen King movie. All right, every episode feels like a Stephen King movie.
Which it was based on.
I like Stephen King. I like his books a lot. I read his books. My Tommyknockers is probably my favorite one. The problem is he has a strong voice as a writer. He uses words to tell fascinating stories and give you insights into the characters that never, ever translates to movies that you watch. Never comes out. And what's worse is they always get these, you know, sci-fi Saturday night producers to make the movie. I don't care how big it is, how epic it is. When Stephen King miniseries come out, they are always crappy. And it really makes me mad, because I really enjoy his work. I read his stuff all the time. So that's right there. You're starting on the ground.
So are you scared about this new one that's going to be on TNT? Was it called Fallen Skies?
Man, that's
it. Just has some exciting actor. I don't want to diss another show to like try to beef up another show. That's not what I want to do here. But I don't know. I can't even respect your geek cred anymore, Daryl, for saying Haven is enjoyable.
Let me get the rest out, because I'm not even getting to Fallen Skies.
Okay,
I believe that's got some potential. But, I mean, so the core of what makes his writing really interesting is the character development, but it's his words describing the scenes, going on in the minds of the characters. If you look at what explicitly goes on in his novels, if you take out the voice, if you take out all that stuff, it kind of feels like the same kind of story. It feels kind of like what's exciting about it is hearing him and experiencing it through his words, which is completely absent in every movie that comes out based on a Stephen King novel. Okay, so you're starting with that. And then you got it on the series, where you got to come up with something every week, something, quote, new. But then the framework they've built on, everything about it just seems uninteresting. The characters, not particularly interesting. The actresses, not particularly interesting. The scenarios that they set up, we've seen all that stuff before. It's just the blandest kind of thing to start with. And so, I mean, I will say I've seen 3.5 episodes of Haven. All right, it's a 3.5 episode. So maybe it has skyrocketed since the time I watched it, and it has become a blistering, you know, a combination of story arcs that, you know, I have missed because I have only watched 3.5 of these things. But it just didn't seem to have that in it. So, all right. So I'm not even going to acknowledge the Haven thing. So we're moving on beyond that. Let's look at Battlestar Galactica and Caprica. To take a series that had a certain feel to it, that had a certain vibe, and then to try to foist off something dramatically different based upon an audience that was there, that had embraced what was there before, I can imagine that being a little off-putting. I can imagine that being destructive. And mostly because I was a fan of original Battlestar Galactica.
So
when I saw CSG rolling out, I said, what's this mess? I mean, they gave me no theme. They gave me none of the fun of the original series. But you know what? I let go of that because I said that was the old series. They're trying to do something new. And I endured season after season. They took off.
He liked the original and you took my geek cred away?
I love the original Battlestar Galactica. That is geek cred if you love the original. But I'm
that's delusional past. That's what that is.
Oh, come on.
Man, ain't nobody rocking a next generation Battlestar Galactica lunchbox. That's all I'm saying. Ain't a collector's item. Ain't out there. But the point is I let go. I let go of the old Galactica to try something new with the new one. And honestly, I still like the old one better. But there were things about the new Galactica that I liked. But in my opinion, and what I find really interesting is I found the new Galactica a lot slower. And a lot more
dark, angst-filled, and depressing,
it just felt slower. It felt slow, punctuated by these really good battle scenes. But when I say really good battle scenes, dang, we got one, maybe, I tell you, we got three good battles every season on Galactica. And when I say battle, I mean, you know, a space battle, a ship dropping through the atmosphere, three of them a season for something that's supposed to be called Battlestar Galactica.
I would say more than that, especially for the first. I think you're imagining that.
Because they may have been two-parters, but I'm counting that as one for what the show was supposed to have been. Compare it to the old 70s, 80s series. Man, they were in Vipers. Granted, it was the exact same scene, just loop to the left or loop to the right. But they were in Vipers every darn episode out there. You know,
mess with the same asteroid every five.
I don't care. At least they were faking like they were trying to take us someplace. You know, in the old series. So So like I said, the new Galactica, all of the things that you are saying about Caprica is how I felt about the new Galactica, but I still was able to get past that and try to embrace and try to enjoy the new Galactica for what it was. There were parts of it that I did like. And they did pretty good with story arcs, which is something that's really big for me. If you're not going to give me action and explosions and stuff in every episode, then at least tie it together in some grand story. Now, we're not going to talk about the finale. We are also not going to talk about the plan, but I'm just going to say they made an effort to try to bring some of these things together. So, all right, those were the things that I liked about the new, you know, generation of Galactica. So when Caprica came around, one, the fact that they started to lighten up a little bit on the depression, which I had endured here for years with the new Battlestar Galactica. I mean, literally, we were in a can, flying through space, every character that we like dying off each week. You know, I got to get used to that, and I got to be comfortable with that in terms of a series. So at least people were surviving in Caprica from episode to episode. I mean, just
what? That, well, at least the major ones died in the first episode.
Yeah. Well, look, like I said, you knock them off early on, but the main characters that we had going on, I agree with you that it seemed like they started getting a little bit lost toward the end of the first season in terms of they were doing some crazy things like, why are we focusing on this character? Well, what happened to this person? But as you saw with the finale, I had faith, and I said it in the podcast, I had faith that the writers were so good that they were going to bring this stuff back, not just because they said, oh, we made a bad decision regarding the characters, but there were story arcs that we hadn't gotten the full story of yet. And when you started watching these episodes in the finale, this stuff started coming back. And remember, they didn't know when they were writing it that this was the finale. They were bringing these elements together. They were giving us some real action. I mean, come on. When you seen a Cylon on the 50-yard line? That was rocking, man. Awesome. Come on.
Well, you can watch it if you watch football on Fox. You see Cletus because he.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. You know what?
How long did it take to get to that? How long did it take?
Okay, yeah, it was the last five episodes. But the last five episodes were really good. You can't tell me, Daryl, that you weren't on the edge of your seat or you didn't have just a slight bit of enjoyment on those last five episodes. We had, I think, a robot in every episode. The story was carefully woven together. It was almost reminiscent of B5 because it was like all this stuff that they, you know, threw at us. They tried to carefully weave it together. Albeit it was quick and thrown together because, you know, they say, well, we want to give you some closure before we get canned. But there was something there.
There was some real depth. I mean, look, there.
No, Carl. Yeah. I'm talking to Daryl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let him go.
No, because he can't be silent on that. You got to answer for the last five episodes.
I used to listen to the podcast, the official podcast, where they used to have the director and okay. One of the producers talk about the show. And for most of the podcast, all I heard was what they wanted the scene to be like, what they thought maybe they wanted to have happen, what they changed. This show had personality disorder. They did not know what they were going to do with the show. It was a mess. When you talk to the original people on it, the ones in charge, they did not know where to go. You had Moore, who's more into the sci-fi stuff than the other producer who was his partner, who had more control of this show. He wasn't mm-hmm. into the sci-fi stuff. He was more into...
That's just crazy. How are you going to make soap
opera stuff?
I'm just saying, that's crazy. How are you going to be in charge or work on a sci-fi show, but yet you don't want it to be sci-fi? I understand what you're saying, but...
Did you listen to the commentary for the...
I did not, and I think I like the show better because of it. I think because you saw them making the sausage, you just kind of... I don't know. It may have turned you off a little bit because you heard them, you know, saw what went into it, and maybe you shouldn't have listened to that. Because if you're going in, you're like, these people don't really know what they're doing, and you're watching, you're like, oh, God, I see. You know, now that they don't know what they're doing, then maybe... I don't know. Do you think they ruined it for you by listening to the podcast or what?
No, I like to know the process. I like to, if they, that's why I like.
I think it ruined it for you though.
Well, no, it seems like that he had a rather strong opinion before, you know, before he listened to the podcast about where the series was. Cause I did not listen to the commentary or any of that kind of stuff. I'm serious. I still think there was a depth and a richness to what was going on in Caprica. I agree that the story went in about five different directions at the same time.
It had its problems. Okay.
And in the beginning, that was a little difficult because you had to hold those threads in your mind. But I really did believe that they were going to do a good job of bringing them back together at some point in the future. But I think, you know, better than a lot of series that try to do this. I mean, I agree. Its complexity was getting to be on par with BS with Babylon 5. Yeah. But they had a season and a half to do this kind of stuff. I mean, we had religion, we had technology, we had corporate espionage, we had gangster stuff going on. All of that stuff. Well, on one hand, yes, it's shooting in all these different directions, but it was consistent with what had been hinted at and discussed in the new Battlestar Galactica, and these pieces started coming together in a way that made sense. Man, the mob behind the giant corporation, that was fun. You know, oh, what are they going to do with the Cylons? That was fun. The spiritual, I never can remember, what is it, the resurrection ships based upon the VR technology. That makes sense, and that is a broad framework to tell a story with, and to have all of those pieces make a logical sense that matched with what was going on in the big series and where they were trying to go. Plus, with the five episodes that we saw coming together, you know, they did not know that was the end at the time. If they knew that that was going to be the end, and they were just tying threads together, and those are the episodes that we saw. That would be one level of competency. But to, you know, have an expectation that, look, this is going to go beyond that, And they still were able to pull all of those edges together into something that was exciting and compelling. That's good work. That's really good work. And that is the kind of complexity that you don't see very much. And like I say, I'm willing to give them time. I'm willing to ride with them when they're going in 9 different directions at once if they give me a payoff like Cylons on the 50-yard line or picking off
Well,
the
we got to see the goo bath resurrection bathtub thing that Zoe popped up out of.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to see how, you know, that was made. And we got to see them, you know, her makeup skin job. And we got to see Cylons used for good and for evil. I mean, those things they never had a chance. They got used to assassinate, you know, criminals. They got used in wars. They got used in every which way possible except for something good.
Yeah. And even, you know, the virtual wife, where you know where that technology was going, but, you know, the virtual wife, when he was coming home and every time he was trying to work with her to try to make her feel more emotional or more real, you know, he just slammed her. Oh, you're not her. You're not doing right. You can see the poor little AI was doing the best you could. He's like, look, I know I'm messing up. Look, can we just get in bed? Yeah, everything.
I know. Every time was so weird.
And so, you know, again.
She made me think of 7.
Yeah, she was 7. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because they're emotionally, they're just emotionally immature.
That's right. That's right.
What, a woman that wants to have sex all the time is emotionally immature?
No, I think that's a great skill. And if you would like to call me, that would be fine. I'll leave my number in the notes, show notes after the...
What?
Anyway.
What just happened here?
Anyway, back to the storyline. So it was consistent with who 7 would be, clearly with what was going on. Because, I mean, like I said, even that, you can see all these elements. I'm so afraid that whenever you hear prequel, that since you know where things are going to go, that the journey is going to be boring, or it's going to be incomplete, or it's not going to be...
Lupus messed that up for everybody.
Who did? Oh, yeah. But really, you know, Caprica was really, really unique in the way that it led to what was coming. And the journey toward each of these steps really was a treat, and it was fun to experience. And it surprised me. I didn't think I was going to like Caprica before the series started. I thought, oh, this is going to be boring. I thought, you know, the series Battlestar Galactica was sanctimonious enough. They're not even going to be in space now. You know, I mean, I had really, you know, low expectations, and I didn't think I was going to like Caprica. I like Caprica much more than the series Battlestar Galactica.
See, I feel the same way, sort of. But Daryl, I mean, no. We're just blowing smoke or what?
No, you look. Well, Kat, you really didn't like BSG that much.
It was just too depressing.
You didn't like. I don't mind that. Like the dark stuff. I really.
But I felt it was good. When people think that I don't like it, and I say I thought it was a very good show. It was a very good show, but I didn't like how depressing it was. It was well put together. The story was really good. The characters were compelling. It was woven together. I kept watching it each week, so you know.
I agree. I'm with you on all of that. It's just that
at
the end of every episode, you were exhausted. It's like, we lost some more babies in this episode.
I agree with that, the how dark it was. But I don't see Caprica being lighter than BSG. Caprica started out with the deaths of his daughter and Joseph Adama's daughter and wife. I mean, and it just went from grief.
It was different.
It was more redemptive because they didn't die and just disappear. You know, we get to see what happens after they die. We got to see how it affected the people in a way that moved the story forward. I mean, and like I said, that was episode 1. You really want to talk about the first episode of Battlestar Galactica with me here? You go back to the pilot.
I mean, there was a high body count on Caprica. We got guts and stuff at the end of season 0.5 where the little lab guy got killed. We didn't want him to die. I mean, we didn't get to really get into the guts of that scene where the Cylon escaped and all this other type of stuff, and there was a helicopter hovering overboard and police cars and all. They dropped that. I mean, they dropped a whole bunch of stuff, and there were a lot of deaths and I don't know why I liked it more. It was prettier. It took us more different places. Yes, I didn't feel wiped out after each episode, but there were a few episodes prior to these five episodes that were kind of dull, and I was complaining about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how someone who could be a multi-million dollar engineer has no security.
He had search.
No, that thing was not secure. You've been better off with
a Roomba patrolling your home. Exactly.
He had high-tech security. You see all the stuff they had to go through just to get inside his house.
No,
they had
I'm talking about
planning. It looked easy, but
I'm talking about security. When you already know that Torrens are going to kill you if you don't. They already came in and almost killed your wife a couple of times already. You've been punched in the face and threatened throughout the beginning of the season. I would have a security. I don't see you having a human security force.
Well, listen, to be fair, he did have a Cylon in his basement. So, you know, that ain't too shabby in terms of if you need some personal security. Well, I agree with you.
Yeah, and the Cylon will rip its arm off and beat people with it.
That's hardcore. That's ghetto right there.
But that wasn't a plan. Came out and helped them, but that wasn't the plan. They were waiting to die. They were sitting there going, we're going to die now. Yeah, and she just happened to be able to come out.
Like certain parts, if you think too hard, none of it makes sense. But the parts that they were trying to get you to pay attention to,
the big parts.
Yeah, because it's like, well, how the hell did she know to come into the blah, blah and save them and take her arm off? And, you know, you think too hard and then, you know, you're back to making a sausage.
Well, my thing is, even the part where it took too long for them to discover that, for him to Daniel to discover that Zoe was inside the robot. Zoe was calling friends. She was ordering pizzas. Nobody knew that this robot was just walking around the house.
She was in the basement. She'd lock up whenever someone showed up.
But she had a higher knowledge of, you know, robots and tech and software and stuff than her dad did.
That's clear.
So she could probably hide it more.
She was like spyware, just one little program. The dude's got like a T9 in his basement line going out, one little call going out on a VR line.
But even the little robot, nobody could tell that the lines were used, that the phone lines were used.
They were looking for that, though. Hmm. He didn't think to look at that. And Zoe didn't bat an eye when he was trying to test her and burn her alive.
Yeah, about set the girl on fire. She could play that off with him staring right at her. So, you know, but, you know, look, I'll even give you that. I'm just saying that, you know, the bigger things that were going on, the larger arcs were really impressive. How they made them interesting, how they kept holding everything together, how stuff made sense within this world, which is rare with modern sci-fi. So I'm telling you, it was really a triumph. And again, you know, I give the new Battlestar Galactica a hard time, but I am totally with Kat. I recognized its quality. I recognized it as being, you know, innovative and great. I was exhausted after every episode, and not in a necessarily good way, but I could recognize the quality. And I said, hey, you know, this is something that's new and it's big and it's good. But I feel that way about Caprica and even broader, because I really felt pulled into each of these episodes, and it was a beautiful, rich world to experience. And oh man, I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss it a lot. Just watching them last couple of episodes, it was like, you know, the last few bites of the food, and you know you're never gonna get it again. Like, oh, look at that! You say, oh, look at this lens flare. I even love the lens flare. Check out the gun on that Cylon. It was pretty. It was very well done.
You know, Caprica was, to me, it was disappointing me about Caprica. Caprica was like, all the ingredients were there. It was like, oh, I'm going to have a good dinner. Because everything is there. Steak's there. Everything is ready. The seasoning is all there. And then the cook started throwing things around and putting stuff together and didn't make sense. And little by little, some type of meal was starting to come. And then it's over. So it just... it just feels like, I think they really should have sat before they started this show. I think they really should have sat back and really planned a little better in the beginning where they wanted this show to go. They probably did have a direction towards the end, but it was too late because you lost too many people in being so.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I mean, I don't know, the way they're writing sci-fi, they still think they have 7 years to, you know, capture the audience's attention. And we just don't have that anymore. I think the first couple of seasons might have been rough. But I think if they had gotten more time, as with SGU, that they would have pulled it out. You know, it would have.
There was the characters. The actors, all those actors are good actors. I've seen them.
They are.
All good actors. It's not them. The writing for those characters were weak to me. Like, when you have an Adama name, you cannot go from the Adama in BSG and how strong that character was, how strong he was with his son, you know, the character, all that together, you know, all the stories that they've had with the Adamas. You can't have that and then have this Joseph Adama who, in my opinion, was very weak.
The dad with the hat and the smoking?
Dad was very weak.
Did you watch the last 5 episodes?
And how long did it take to get him to get some
He was back, at underlying back? That. He, I mean, come on, dude. You got A, he was hardcore from the beginning. Then he was like one of those people who didn't really want to embrace his own culture because he was trying to assimilate himself into Caprican culture. And you see how different the Tauron culture versus the Caprican culture is. You know what I'm saying? So he had to deal with that.
His brother, Sam, was stronger than me.
Yeah, well, but
he was a thug, you know?
Tauron, and he never, you know, had to assimilate himself into Caprican society. So, I mean, then the guy lost his wife, his daughter. He was having to, like, do backdoor deals with judges. Then he came in, and he was Guatral. And then it was just like... I don't know. No, I think he went through a lot of stuff. He went to the V world to try to hunt down his daughter, dealing with his grief. He did a whole bunch of stuff. So I think that his character was like it fleshed out. I don't think he was weak.
I think he's probably one of the better defined characters in the series. And I think it does make sense because if we think about, you know, Adama, Captain Adama, he was a balance of, you know, of justice and force. You know, you don't mess with Adama.
And then he had his weak points too.
But he was smart, you know. So what's happening is we're seeing where all that came from. You know, his dad had a certain, well, he was trying to get away from the bad life that he'd endured. And if you watch the last couple episodes, you see, man, he was no weakling. And I admit, yes, it took a while to get there. But this is a generation back we're trying to, you know, piece together. If you got one, you know, father figure who is kind and is trying to do the best for the family as possible and is trying to get away from all that. And then, you know, you got that bad uncle who's, you know, always getting into trouble. And then you're growing up in that. You get to see both worlds. You get to see both sides of this. And you can see the world that, you know, young Adama would be growing up in is going to have this unrelenting balance because, you know, his dad's trying to do everything possible to keep him straight and narrow. And, you know, uncle and extended family, you know, they're teaching him how to hustle. That combined can be a really good combination, and that's who Adama turned out to be.
Well, so, wait, whoa.
No, he died. That's not.
Yeah, he died, so it didn't matter.
The next child that they have, the other
that
one.
Thing other, yeah.
That's who I'm talking about. But you know, I'm
he didn't get that, though. He didn't get, okay.
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Something tells me that, you know, they didn't go totally on straight and narrow and I think that bounce is still going to be there with the next.
Well, yeah, because he had to know the story. He had to grow up Caprican. He got in the military, blah, blah, blah. Yep. But I think he was I don't know how you think he was just a totally weak character, Daryl.
I think he and Greystone were the best developed characters.
Well, they pay the most by far.
Well, you know, but they, I mean, you know, given what they had to go through, I agree with you. It took them too long to get there. I agree with you that, you know, they went a lot of different directions. I agree with you that sometimes on the little things, they may have missed stuff. But the big arcs, you know, the fact that you got a giant corporation being run by the mob, you know, making weapon systems, that you can see where the scale of the Cylons came from. Because, you know, if it was just one little, you know, tiny, if it was Packard Bell trying to crank out Cylons, that don't make no sense. It's not enough of them. So you start to see, it's weapons for arms dealership going. You can feel how all of this stuff is twisted. You said that you wish they took more time in the beginning to, you know, flesh out where the direction of the series was going. I think they really did. I think they came up with a really broad framework of where this series was going to go, because that's the only way that they could make sense out of this stuff. But they may have missed it on some of the details. They may have missed on some of the day-to-day, but they had to have thought through it, because I'm telling you, there's no way all of these elements would have fallen together as well as they have if they didn't put some thought into what the series, what direction the series was going in. But still, and you know, I think that's the problem. You know, you're talking about modern sci-fi. I think it's two problems. You get one of two types of modern sci-fi series. You get the total bottle shows where they just crank up, something happens, you know, the people in trouble, something happens, and then it's resolved. People in trouble, something happens, and then it's resolved. Episode after episode after episode. So they write like the show's going to be canceled week two. Or then you get, you know, the broad visions of three generations of humanity travel into space. And, you know, it takes three seasons for everything to get going for you to figure out what the heck is. I call that the Earth 2 syndrome, where you just sit there watching and you have no idea.
I know, right?
That's old school. Don't take my geek cred. All right, so, you know, where you be watching that stuff going, what are they thinking?
With the old man with the robot arm.
Robot arm. He pulled it out. He was a prisoner, remember? But anyway, it seems to be nothing in between. They can't seem to split that difference with a lot of modern sci-fi. So the series is totally dependent on whether the network will keep it going long enough for the super arcs to start to make sense, or for the bottle shows to get tired enough of doing bottles, which is an excellent example of Stargate. Because SG-1 was like 4 years of bottle shows. Every time it began on planet
Canada.
That
works for them. I mean, they had a little stuff where they had the progression or whatever, but it worked for them.
But I think the difference with that is I like Daniel. I like Carter. And you like them three episodes in. You like those characters. Those stories were not. I rewatched season one. They were not good, rode with those characters.
Yes, that is because you are a warrior, my friend, because I did not watch Stargate SG-1 until like season five, because it was just
really?
Felt like, seriously, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it didn't. It just felt too predictable. But around that time, they said, you know what? This show has been on for a while, and we've been doing the same thing now for 4 years. Maybe we could make like a two-parter. What? You know, a two-parter, you say? You know, and it dawned on him that, you know, going through a big ring onto a forest planet, picking up the natives, shooting up stuff, and then going back through the ring might get monotonous. And eventually, they started to bring in some art.
People take a cue from that.
But the point is the network
had a buildup of enemies every time, every season. They did have a buildup. It did. I mean, it wasn't as concrete in the first season, but as it kept, but they did have a purpose.
They had the
Ga'ul. They had to build up. They were, the whole purpose of in the beginning was to get enough information to make friends with enough races to.
That happened to all of planet Canada.
And go through all of the Egyptian gods. They went through all of them.
Yeah, they went through all that. But it felt like it was going somewhere. But to me, it felt like it was going somewhere. And they had fun on the ride. You know, they kept the ride going.
Because I liked O'Neill, you know, the silliness of that made it bearable in the beginning. But... It was no, you know, masterful episodic thing. They, like I said, and they were ripping off every other series.
I didn't mind that at all. I just thought it was fun. But I, you know, Daryl, I think you are like the normal viewer, and maybe Carl and I, maybe we have a little bit more patience because we've seen enough awful sci-fi to know when there's something there. I mean, I'm saying you do too, but. Like normal, regular people, they don't have time for Capra to get its crap together, you know? And I think that's why the show failed, and that's why it's canceled, and that's that.
Yeah, but
what else can you do?
One of my biggest fears, and I also said it on the previous podcast, is that, you know, with the loss of shows like Caprica, they're going to say, oh, well, look, we put quality sci-fi out there, and the fans don't support it. So let's go back to Alligator Man or whatever other crap that
Man
they shovel
Skeeto.
on Saturday night.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
These things come and go. I mean, sometimes some things are in vogue and some things are not in vogue. Maybe what we're doing right now and what we want with sci-fi is just out of style.
But what I'm saying and what I'm concerned about is, look, even, you know, well, all right, this is getting a little off topic. But long story short, look at what happened with the potential for an Atlantis movie as a result of what happened to SGU. You know, the feel of those two series, very different. And but they looked at one and they said, oh, well, because of that, now we're not going to support the movie.
They were just being dicks.
Well, that is the kind of mindset that's going on, where you got to say, well, look, one sci-fi series suddenly now speaks for all sci-fi that's out there, and there's no more room for experimentation.
Nah, MGM is going bankrupt. They couldn't afford
to make it. Yeah, that had more to do with it than anything else. Like, they didn't even pay all of what's his name, Richard Dean Anderson. And they still owed him money.
Oh, come on,
from
MacGyver.
Stargate.
Come on, man. You ain't hooking up O'Neill. That's wrong.
I don't think it was the movies didn't, you know, they had to stop the movies because they just didn't have the budget to pay people to do it, you know, to get the production.
And you know what? And that's why I'm glad other channels are trying sci-fi stuff or trying genre-related stuff. You got TNT with Fallen Skies. Who does Walking Dead? AMC with Walking Dead.
AMC, thank you,
AMC. I mean,
AMC.
You got Stars with Torchwood. I think other people and other stations and other companies need to do this besides sci-fi because maybe they're ruining it for people.
Yeah.
Well, they're not dead. I mean, because people thought that sci-fi was dead when Farscape got canceled. Then they thought it was...
Oh, it felt like death, man.
It was dead for a while. Seriously, it took 5 years.
Still on, though.
But it never ends. Like sci-fi never ends.
That's what I'm saying. Stations, you know, given a shot.
You will have these lows, like right now, where you see these series get canceled. But that means when another show comes to sci-fi, they're going to have to get their game up. They're going to have to.
I can't think new on sci-fi anymore. I'm done.
Well, I agree with you.
Human. It has to survive for at least a season to get it. If it gets a second season, I'll watch it, but not until then.
I hate to say it, but the clips I've seen for Being Human, and I watched the original Being Human, it seems kind of watered down to me. I hope I'm wrong.
I don't even like those characters. I'm like, who are these people? They don't look right.
It feels like it watered it down.
These are people that did get roles on Haven. Mm. So they got
It can't be that bad. It can't be that
Listen,
bad.
They had a black woman on Being Human. They had no black people on Haven.
There you go.
Every time
something's afoot in the Northeast. But then again, it could be because all the black folks were smart enough to get the hell out of there. You know, if
considering
you
that Haven
sank in flames and
I didn't worry about black people.
It's Nova Scotia, man. Come on.
I'd be moving. I'd move right away.
Nova Scotia. Okay. Anyway,
I'm like, but you know what? If it fails, well, it fails. But you because. To me, Stargate Universe didn't have it.
We didn't have that conversation.
It shouldn't be rewarded because it's a Stargate show if they're not going to do it right.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
You know, it's sad for the guys.
Those got, like, you know, all these seasons to prove themselves and do all this other stuff. I mean, I think the environment is a little harsh. Yeah, we do have complaints about it, and I don't know what the hell they're doing in the writing room, but... I mean, I think they're killing the babies before they even, you know, come out the womb. It's just, I don't know. That was weird. Sorry.
Sci-fi.
that was a little hardcore.
I'm sorry. Mississippi got to step back. Like, they're you know, because I think they were really lazy with Stargate Universe. They just thought they would slap that title on it and they could do whatever they wanted to do and people were going to stick with it no matter what. And when you have hardcore Stargate fans not watching your show, and that's what was happening, because that show had those ratings were really going down, so you were losing hardcore that started watching it in the beginning and loved it even though it had the bad stories and all that, but were loving it anyway. They were losing those people, and to do that to get hardcore people to stop watching it, you really have to take a step back and reevaluate your franchise. Because they pretty much ran it. Star Trek did it, too. They ran their franchise into the ground because they kept having the same. They thought if they threw Star Trek on it, everybody's going to watch it no matter what, how crappy the stories are, no matter
okay,
how.
Okay, well, yeah, I was time. Victim of that, and I do watch them.
Yeah, I was.
I do watch them, regardless.
I could sing the Enterprise song, and I hate that song.
It's been a long time.
Don't do it. Don't
getting
do it.
From there to here. It's been a long time. Yeah. But my time is finally. And then they had to make the
I can touch the sky.
It's just about the time where everybody start crying.
Or hold the cigarette lighters up. Either one.
Rock your hand from side to side.
Because you know it's funny because we had to Star Trek had to get run into the ground to get rid of Berman. Because Rick Berman
was the reason why.
That'll make no sense.
And I don't know who the Rick Berman is for Stargate.
It might be Rick Berman. Just slide back in. Like, I'm gonna do it again.
Somebody got to go. Yeah. You know, and if Syfy has enough failing sci-fi shows, somebody at Syfy got to go. You know, and that's what happened. Somebody at Syfy got to go,
it just feels like somebody's doing some sabotage here. It doesn't feel right.
Well, they lose it. Then you lose when you have other series, other sci-fi series on other networks, on other cable networks that are starting to get more ratings than you. Somebody's gonna say something. Somebody's gonna lose their job eventually.
Good.
We gotta go through this.
Yeah.
We gotta go through this.
Your dad just came out of nowhere and just killed everybody
mm-hmm.
with the ratings. And then you tell me, Daryl, the ratings like may have dipped one time, but they kept going up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
But. What were we talking about? For
The Walking
series?
Dead. Right?
Oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah, their ratings, even they were so high. Their ratings went up, and that never happens for a show, for the ratings to go up mm-hmm. every episode. It just never happens like that.
I don't know.
So now all these other networks are trying to green light all these genre shows now because of Walking Dead. So if sci-fi wants to maintain and because you can't just wrestling is I mean it makes them money. It does make them money because people are watching it. But it's not going to be the only thing that's going to keep them going. They need something. They need a franchise.
Yeah, and I think they have this show Alphas and then maybe Being Human and that's their only new shows coming up. I'm not impressed.
No, I'm not impressed.
And that's fine. You know, they're doing what they want to do. Maybe they need to run themselves in the ground so maybe they can die and then you know rebirth themselves as the phoenix or however you say that crap, and maybe we'll get something else. But now I'm not feeling it.
You need new life sometimes. You need new blood, and we're getting new blood in other genre shows and other networks like sci-fi right now. Network television, It was got to a point where there was nothing going on in those. Anytime they try to do something good on network television, they threw it at a bad time slot. They killed it. They told people to rewrite something, destroyed the show, canceled it, and then they put on all these reality shows. Now it's to the point where this year was the low. Like 2010 was the lowest rated for network television.
Yeah.
Since 1980s.
What?
Yes. That's how low the ratings are going.
So I heard otherwise, but...
Okay. That's telling you something. That when it's getting that bad, that you just can't have reality shows.
Well, I mean, it's saturated, plus you got the internet, blah, blah. I mean, people have had these conversations on other
podcasts. But you know what? You don't... it gets to the same people are writing the same type of shows, and then you have cable. And then somebody comes in with an idea and they say, we're going to try your idea. And then these shows are starting to make it. And a lot of these shows are character shows. You know, they have the genre down, but they're character shows and they get time. You know, it's a rarity when a cable show is getting canceled. And because so, you get
with the exception of sci-fi, because didn't they just cancel three this year?
Sci-fi is a monster in itself, because right now sci-fi to me is kind of like network television in terms of not having any new blood, not letting people with new ideas come into the show, and
being draconian with their programming.
Right. Just right.
Cut it. Because yeah, there is a big difference. I see what you're saying, because when you think about broadcast, how many broadcast shows have we seen that had like three episodes? You know, I don't care how bad you are on cable, you can do better than three episodes.
Right.
Network, they don't care. They're like, eh, no. And they'll just cut it. Just cut right. it.
What was the one that got canceled after the first episode? It was some
show. Oh, yeah.
That got canceled the first episode.
I forgot, but I was like, wow, that's really harsh.
We never even got a chance to see it. I remember. That's what I was trying to think of. But I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. So,
I don't know. I just think Caprica just really did it harsh. I mean, I've never seen it, you know, on a cable, or maybe I haven't been paying attention, where they play it. Well, at first they say they weren't going to play it until January of this year anyway. Mm-hmm. And then they changed their mind. Then they put it on. It didn't get the ratings. They moved it to a new night. Then they shut it down and they said they're not going to play the remaining season out. And then they're going to dump the rest in one day. And then who does that and why? How does that get done? I mean, that just sounds like some malice involved.
Well, they had the shows already done. They had to air them eventually. They had to get rid of them. But like, when you can't even get 1 million viewers, that's pretty bad.
If you have like 500 channels, I mean, only viewers can only watch some. I think they need to readjust their ratings expectations.
Well, not only that, you know, they did some very creative programming things in terms of what night it was on, what they were leading in with, what they were doing. So there was a lot of stuff that just seemed like the frame around Caprica was not allowing it to succeed.
Well, I guess maybe only two people liked it. That was you and I, Carl, and everybody else thought it would suck, so maybe it should have got canceled. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, like I said, after seeing them last couple of episodes, I'm thinking they might be saying, well, you know, it might have had a chance. It might have been all right.
Well, they're still trying to save Caprica with the Save Caprica campaign. They have a petition up right now. Right now they have a 6,000, almost 7,000 signatures. So if you want to save Caprica, maybe that'll help. I don't think it will, you know.
It looks like they're with the ending of Caprica, it looks like they pretty much are ready to connect it right to
Blood and Chrome.
Yeah, if they do that, because they're now.
What is this if? What do you mean if?
Now there are articles coming out this weekend I was reading where they're not sure they're going to do that, because they it's about money. They don't want to spend a whole lot of money on a show if it's not going to get the ratings. They're scared right now.
And see, then they're going to half-ass it. Then it's not going to be good. Then it's not going to get the ratings because they didn't spend the money to get the ratings. And then it's going to suck. Oh, it's just a whole circle jerk of madness.
I think they should I think they really should do a short amount of episodes. I think they should just span and do like maybe
a mini,
like British,
a mini series,
like BBC.
Yeah. Like Walking Dead did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, because The Walking Dead was six episodes because they
pretty much murdered me.
We love your idea. We just don't have money to do a full season. So what we're going to do is we can either cut your budget down and do 13 and they're going to be weak because we don't have the money, or we could do some movie type sets in six episodes.
I think they made the right choice.
Yeah.
And now this Blood and Chrome was only supposed to be what, 2 hours?
It was only supposed to be a webisode.
Oh,
supposed to be webisodes in the beginning.
Man, that's like $15 budget.
Right. And it was supposed to be webisodes. And then there was such talk about people wanting, because I was one of them, wanting the Cylon War. And then.
Jeez. How are you going to do Cylon War on a $15 budget?
You can't. But that's the thing. They were going to just do little webisodes and then throw them online and eventually, you know, throw them together and air them on the Sci-Fi Channel. And then. But when the ratings were low for Caprica, they want to look. They want a franchise. They want a Star Trek. They want a, you know, Babylon 5.
What they want is a freaking Jersey Shore.
Well, that's pretty much what they want because
it's very cheap to make these the show like Jersey Shore. I mean, they don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff, and they make a lot of money on it. And I mean, you can't fault them for it, but
you don't have to torture us in the process.
Right, it's just killing me. I don't know.
Well, they want the franchise because they want the money, but they don't want to spend it.
And the other thing is, look, we're giving them a break. How many Monster Chaser shows do they have now? You got Ghosts, Bigfoot, you're looking for every damn thing, with people with handy cams running through the bush. Well, they got tons of those shows now on the cable channel now. Come on, I don't want to hear it talking about Nickel and Diamond when it comes to something that requires an epic budget for it. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. So we're going to have to find some rich sci-fi geeks with a whole bunch of money to do the stuff right.
Hey, Lotto winners. Two of them, right? 300 million split in half?
Sure.
You guys like sci-fi? We got some ideas.
Not sure I'd do that with my money, but okay.
Well, you know, we're trying to sell it to them, scat. Oh, yeah, sci-fi is big. We can get around with 150 million. We got ideas.
But you know what's good is...
Other now, because of how bad it's been getting, I think it's coming a time now where even with network people are telling them, you have to, the old school, y'all have to get out the way. Because you're killing our money. You're messing with my money. It's all right. It's okay, you know, when we was getting money. But when you start messing with my money, we got to do something different. So all you... you know, casting people that can't do all your own shows, and you won't even give a chance to something that's new and fresh, because you don't know the director or the writer or whatever, or he's not friends with somebody in the business. You got to get them people out the way.
Yeah, but I'm so afraid of what's going to come and replace them. I mean, I'm not thrilled with what we got right now, but I hope what comes to replace them's got a little bit more vision, because it's hard to imagine things getting worse.
Hey, why did you go and say you jinxed it?
Yeah,
you just jinxed it. Haven't you been alive?
Nah, but you can't ever say at any point after something is already awful, it just can't get any worse. Come on, dude, that's like a sci-fi pillar.
Look, I didn't say nothing could stop us now.
I got a bad feeling.
Because I did say nothing. I said MTV couldn't get worse. Oh, and then they did Jersey Shore.
MTV.
Okay. Yeah. They can get worse.
I think we're just old and we need to be quiet and let the young folks have their whatever.
In my day, sci-fi was on lunch boxes.
And my Hess truck used to fly. I remember
that. Battle Zone was the best arcade game ever.
Arcade game.
And ships had shields.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we're showing our age. Guys, do you have any last, words, last thoughts about anything? Because we could wrap this up, because we're just rambling and shaking our canes at people.
The end is nigh! Run for your lives, fans! All hope is gone!
Grab all your Star Trek movies and hold them to your heart.
Beta will outlive DVDs.
Blu-rays are evil.
Keep away, children. Stay away from the internet.
Put your iPhones down.
Now y'all are German.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
All right, guys, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Go to our website, scifipartyline.com. Leave us a message. We'll read it. Tweet us at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
But my time is finally near. And I will see my dream come alive at last. I will touch the sky. And they're not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna change my mind. Cause I've got faith of the heart.
End of line.